Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shakya Presents Movie Night. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias. Joining me for this episode, she's a writer for CinemaBlend.com, Christy Puchko. Thank you so much for joining me here on Movie Night.
Thanks for having me.
The movie we're about to talk about is the new movie from Ruben Fleischer. He directed Zombieland in 2009, and his follow-up to that was a movie called 30 Minutes or Less in 2011. And this is his newest film, Gangster Squad. This film takes place in the late 1940s, going into the 1950s, and is about the corruption of Los Angeles from mobsters and the police inability to bring the gangsters down. And so they have this elite squad of rogue cops to take down the mob, headed by Josh Brolin. Sergeant John O'Meara was his name. This film comes out this Friday. Christy, what are your thoughts on Gangster Squad? And what are your thoughts on, I guess, on Ruben Fleischer in general? What did you think of Zombieland and 30 Minutes or Less?
Well, okay, I didn't see 30 Minutes or Less. I did see Zombieland. I really like Zombieland. I actually, it's kind of like a family thing where we watch it every year. Because it's like something that's like sort of scary where the little kids get freaked out, but it's not too bad because there's comedy. And like, it's a real crowd pleaser at my household. But I didn't see 30 Minutes or Less. But coming to this, I wanted to root for this movie, especially because the way it got shoved around in the schedule because of the shooting out of Aurora. Which, to recap, for those that don't remember, basically Gangster Squad was supposed to open, I think it was just 3 or 4 weeks after The Dark Knight Rises. But because of a scene that has since been cut where gangsters were going to walk through a movie theater screen and fire into the audience, according to the trailer, they decided that they were going to cut that scene and push back the screening, and they had to reshoot a critical aspect, as we were told, for this release. First off, watching the movie, you and I talked after, and I said I did not know which scene, like, I didn't know where the movie theater thing was going to fit in, and I didn't know what had replaced it, and we figured out what we think it was, and I don't think that is the problem with this movie, but I think this movie has a lot of problems.
Yes, this movie has a large amount of problems. I think, namely for me, I found it very difficult to get into the movie. I was unsure if this movie was going to be – actually, I was actually kind of surprised how serious this movie was going to be. I thought this was going to be a comedy for some reason, just because Zombieland was a comedy and 30 Minutes or Less was a comedy. And so I found myself really hard to get into the actual movie. And then when the tone became very serious, it became light again, became somewhat of a comedy, and then it became serious. And I don't think it balanced the comedy – and drama very well, where I felt myself getting immersed or even engaged with the story.
No, tonally, it's all over the place. I mean, it starts very darkly. Like, I mean, there's an act of violence about 3 minutes in that I was shocked by, frankly. It was much more violent than I thought.
Same here. I like, just the setup of that and I can't believe they actually showed the end result of it.
Because we would have understood that without showing it, but they show it. Like, it's a horror movie 3 minutes in, and you're just like, what just happened? And it kind of goes from there, and it's a very violent movie. I was actually really shocked at how violent this movie is, because I've watched a lot of gangster movies. I like gangster movies, particularly the like James Cagney era of gangster. It's so all over the place where there's moments of it where it seems like it's trying to be kind of the banter gangster movie, where, especially between the scenes of Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, where they have this kind of back and forth, which never quite gets there because the script is not as sharp as it needs to be. Like, I feel like the dialogue could stand a few more drafts. I wrote down one line, a chief says to Josh Brolin, where he says, "Two things you can't take back on this job, kid. Bullets out of your gun and words out of your mouth." And it's like, that's the best you could do with that moment?
Yeah, it feels like it could use another pass. I mean, like, it was trying to be Chinatown. It was trying to be L.A. Confidential.
Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, it was trying to be Sunset Boulevard.
Really, like, superficial references to all those movies.
Yeah, I mean, even Sean Penn's lush of mansion looks like it's from Sunset Boulevard, and even the shot in the swimming pool is from Sunset Boulevard.
Like, oh, well, we know where this is from.
It feels more like Dick Tracy, Warren Beatty's Dick Tracy, but not good. It's going for like this Roger Rabbit feel as well with comedy, and it just doesn't really come together so well. And I can clearly see where Ruben Fleischer's influences are, but it just doesn't come together at all.
It's a real hodgepodge of influences, and I think that's a major part of the problem, where from scene to scene, I don't know what kind of movie I'm watching, because some scenes are so earnest, and some scenes are so violent, and then some scenes are just goofy. It's bizarre. I mean, I almost wish it had just gone full over the top, because, like, Sean Penn is there. Like, Sean Penn just eats the scenery to pieces in this movie, and I'm fine with that, because he at least made it interesting, but, like, there's not the performances are all sort of cartoonish, and it's like you said, it is like Dick Tracy. This seems like a human cartoon. Like, everything's just everybody's just a little too hard edged in what they're doing for this to feel at all real, but it's not fantastical enough for it to feel like heightened, like Sin City or something. Though I think there are Sin City references too. Like, I think that at moments he aims for that kind of stylistic violence, but Fleischer is just not pulling it off.
Yeah, I mean, he makes Zack Snyder look like Stanley Kubrick in terms of, like, style. It feels really inept and middling.
Yeah.
What's it called? It feels like as the movie progressed, I was definitely not on board with it. And the more it unfolded, I just realized that Ruben Fleischer is a hack. just to put it out there, it doesn't seem like he can string scenes together, because scenes seem like they end too early.
They just into each other. They don't make,
And he doesn't seem to understand the tone or what this film is supposed to be. I mean, at points, it's trying to feel like an Ocean's 11 type of, like, elite squad of cops gone rogue, but it doesn't really pull that off. It seems like this movie should be about the process of how awesome these gangsters are or how awesome these cops are, but it never really does that. It comes off really obvious and predictable and foolish. There's a car chase scene in this movie that is just shot so – it's so incomprehensible the way this scene is put together. It takes place at night in the dark. I don't know who the good guys are. I don't know who the bad guys are. I don't know who's chasing
smoke.
Who.
The cars are hard to tell apart. They're racing around in order because there's a bunch of cars. It's not just two. Yeah, it's – I didn't know what was happening for half that scene.
And it's not even like a bombardment of images and sounds like Battleship or something.
No.
It just felt so banal. It just felt like really dull. At least with Battleship, it felt at least hitting you over the head with it, where this movie just lays there. And I feel bad because I like everyone in this movie. This cast is amazing. Josh Brolin, Ryan Gosling, Emma Stone, Sean Penn, Anthony Mackie, Giovanna Ribisi, Michael Penn. I like all these people. Robert Patrick is in this movie.
The thing is, it's so frustrating because it's like this movie feels dated in that it feels like the movie didn't know who these people are yet. Where it's like you see Anthony Mackie and it's like, hooray, Anthony Mackie, you know, and then it's like, oh, he gets nothing to do? Okay, fantastic. You know, and it's like that's how I felt about most of the characters. It feels like, you know, if this had been made in, like, 1993, I probably wouldn't mind it so much. But it's like there's nothing about this movie that feels fresh or innovative, and it's just such a mess. Like, the action scenes don't make any sense. I was actually laughing at the blocking, which, like, how often do I even have to think about blocking in a movie? But, like, it's just so weirdly staged. Like, the way the characters face in scenes and the way when they turn and stuff, it's just – it feels really directed and – forced, and it's just so unfortunate.
And it's strange that this is Ruben Fleischer's third film. This seems so amateurish the way this movie is put together. It's not comical. It's just kind of sad. I was thinking, like, this guy, and I had problems with Zombieland. I'm not over the moon with that movie as much. It's a fun film, but I think it really slows down at a certain point, and the certain point comes during the cameo of the film. I'm not going to say who it is, and I actually have problems with the cameo, but when the movie comes
to – How dare you, sir? Without revealing who it is, how dare you?
Well, if your whole movie is predicated on a cameo, then it's not really a good movie, then, in my estimation. And if you can't divulge the cameo, then it's not a plot point or anything.
Not. I just I just love that canon.
Yeah, I mean, I understand.
We're getting off point. I'm sorry, but yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I mean, but the thing, another thing of it is that his first two movies, I think, didn't have as much to live up to because, you know, some people really love zombie movies, but it's not like zombie movies are a typically respected genre. So you can play a lot in there and people aren't going to get too outraged.
Well, and that movie just came out of nowhere too, if I
remember.
Yeah,
exactly. And like, I think the first time I heard about that movie was because Woody Harrelson had gotten like a bar fight or something. And he was like, I'm still in Zombieland mode. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? And they're like, oh, he's working on a movie called Zombieland. Yeah. Like, that was the first time.
And it was Emma Stone before she was in Spider-Man or anything. And
yeah, it was like after Superbad, I think, but. Yeah, but like that came out of nowhere, and 30 seconds or less, that kind of got weirdly sidelined because of the scandal about how it was based on a real story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Know that, and whatever. So I feel bad. I feel like Ruben Fleischer must have done something to a gypsy, because his movies just seem cursed as far as, like, they're always getting into scandals that, like, may have nothing to do with him. You know, arguably, whatever, but, like, yeah, this one just, oh, man. But I think he didn't know how to tackle the gangster genre, or the noir genre, frankly, and this movie just feels so haphazard. Even the plot line of the characters, like there's a part where Ryan Gosling's character is like, hey, next time can we have a plan? Because this went almost really badly. And it's like, I feel like that speaks to the whole movie.
Yes, very well put. I mean, this movie's supposed to be like a film noir, but there's just so much green screen in it where it just kind of feels ridiculous. I mean,
it looks like Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow.
It does look like that, but very comical. I mean, like that movie came out 10 years ago and this looks like exactly like that. This movie just seems like all over the place. And I really wasn't entertained by, I was really trying to get on board with it too. I was saying to myself, well, that just seems like a bad hiccup. Like, let's really get into this movie. But as each scene unfolded, I was just constantly reminded that this is not a good movie in any way. And I feel bad for the cast because they're absolutely wonderful actors and they have nothing to do here.
Thankfully, though, I think people will forget this movie pretty quickly. I mean, you and I went to a screening last night, and it's one of the free screenings in New York. But typically, if those are well attended, the movie has a pretty decent opening weekend because it reflects that, like, people are excited to see it. People will stand out in the cold to see this movie. And I mean, it was a very packed theater. Someone clapped at the end, but I don't know if that was mocking or not.
Probably not. I doubt it. I mean, it seems like out of most because my experience at these screenings, free screenings in New York, people will applaud because it's a free movie. It doesn't matter what the quality of the movie is on the screen.
I mean, I realized that I was kind of trying to get engaged with it and I wasn't bored exactly, but I wasn't riveted at all. And I realized that it was a problem when, you might know where I'm going with this, where there was a scene where they show this delicious dinner that Sean Penn's character's eating. And I full on just made yummy noises, like really loudly, like so loud that I didn't realize I had done it until after. And then I was like, "Who? Oh, that was me." And then I thought that is the most engaged I had been in that movie. It was like, I was like having food envy was my strongest connection. And that made me bummed out. But I have to say, like, there are good things about this movie. Like, I think Ryan Gosling is really fun in this movie. Him and Emma Stone, they try to do something with their scenes, though her character is so underwritten. But there's such gaping plot holes, it's so hard to get excited about it, because you're just like, even if you're enjoying these little character arcs, you know, then it's just something where you cannot look away from how gratuitous this leap in logic is.
Yeah, I mean, and also there are supposed to be scenes of warmth. Like, for example, the scene where Ryan Gosling's character, Jerry, meets Josh Brolin's wife, Josh Brolin's character's wife, and it's supposed to be like, here's a moment where this mysterious character in Josh Brolin and his partner, it's his professional life and his private life coming together. Lighting. And it's supposed to be like kind of like this emblematic moment, but it's kind of undercut with this this bit of comedy that just sticks out like a sore thumb in relation to Michael Pena's character. And I thought to myself, what did that have to do with anything? That was,
I mean,
such a stupid line.
But it's such a weird, yeah. The scenes just feel so utilitarian, where it's like, we've accomplished what we came in here to do. Let's move on. And there's no kind of grace. There's no good button lines that like lead into a next scene very well. And I mean, it's literally like people will say stuff like, we need to have a conversation. Yeah, we do. And then the scene ends. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, there's a moment where where a gangster does something wrong and Sean Penn is angry at him and he's like, oh, don't worry about it. This happens all the time. You know the drill. And then they bring out a drill to kill this guy.
And they don't stop there. Like, they could cut away there, but they don't. And that's when you're like, that's where I was like, wait, is this supposed to be funny? Is this supposed to be like a macabre sense of like Sin City gratuitous sort of violence humor? But like, there's not an, it's so unbalanced. Like, there's lots of violence, but the, I don't know. And it's just, oh man, this movie has such a fetish for gunfire, real fire, and just bare knuckle boxing that it was just weird to me. I mean, am I right?
The yeah.
close-ups being like, yeah, bloody knuckles, let's do this. And then like, fire. There's so much fire in this movie. I'm looking at the poster now and there's fire on the poster, which in retrospect is hilarious to me.
Well, it's not fun enough. You know, it doesn't really go for it as much as it should. And it's not serious enough to get
like,
fully invested
in. Like, catches on fire and just calmly puts himself out?
As he's strangling someone.
Yeah, as he continues to murder somebody. But I thought that was going to be a plot point. Like, then he would set the building on fire or something. But no. Sometimes gangsters just catch on fire. And they're so badass. They don't even care. Like, I don't know.
I mean, I kind of felt a little bad for this movie because it was supposed to come out in September, but then it was pushed to January, and perhaps they wanted to push it to January altogether. I mean, the scene that they actually added in to take out the theater shooting scene, I thought that scene worked fine. I didn't think it really hurt the film at all, but this does feel more like a January release than a September release.
Yeah, it's a silly, gory thing that, like, I mean, might be fun for a Saturday afternoon if you're so inclined. I didn't expect a lot from it because, you know, Ruben Fleischer, like I enjoyed Zombieland. So I thought I would enjoy this, but this is so weird. Like and the fact that it's based on a real story, right? That's the whole concept.
Yeah.
Like it does not feel like a historical drama at all.
No, it's too stylized for that.
Yeah, but it's not stylized enough for it to be like its own thing. It feels like Ruben Fleischer got really excited and kind of made like a dream collage of what this movie would be and then just used that.
Yeah. And it's sad to say, but like if Zack Snyder had this material, and if you see the movie, like you can tell that a lot of Zack Snyder stylization is in this movie.
So I feel if Zack loving slow-mo violence.
Yeah. And I feel if Zack Snyder had this film, it would have been a better movie. And that just speaks a lot to how bad this movie is. If Zack Snyder had it, this would have been at least a fun movie to get through.
That's the thing. Like, I know people get on Zack Snyder and I hate some of his stuff, but I've enjoyed some of his stuff too. Like, I feel like he understands how to do machismo well.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, this movie just doesn't. It tries so hard, but like, I mean, there's like a scene, the big showdown between, I won't get into it too much, but the big showdown between Josh Brolin and Sean Penn. And I was bored. Like at that point, I just didn't even care what was happening anymore. And I was like, this played out so bizarre. I just couldn't even, like, be tuned in. Oh, also, I want to ask you, do you think there's a Terminator 2 reference in here?
A Terminator 2 reference? Because of Robert Patrick being in this movie? I missed it.
But then he's not the one. Like, there's, like, a part where Josh Brolin leaps onto the back of a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, is that another reference? But then, of course, it's like, again, all the references are, that may not be one, but the references that are in the film are so slapdash that you're like, it feels like a checklist. Like, yeah, guys, that's for you. But it's not like well integrated. So it just feels like, well, we get it. You like these movies or you've at least seen them. I don't know.
Well, and also it's kind of a letdown. I mean, we talked about that opening scene. We didn't talk about it in great detail, but we talked about the opening scene and how brutal it is. But then it never really lives up to that at all. Like it blows its wad in terms of gore right there in that scene.
And it's not that I wanted more gore. And I think there's plenty of violence. And I was actually put off by the violence at this point. And I think it's partially because, I mean, this movie's been kind of cursed where twice now it's been positioned to open after a horrible public shooting. So it's kind of hard to shake like when they're having massive shootouts in public spaces, it's hard to shake that thought. So I think that certainly hurt the fun of it for me. But I mean, it's also just not a fun movie. I think, you know, whenever this would have come out, there wouldn't have been a point where I'd be like, oh, but those action scenes are fun. They're not. It's really weird and I'm not going to say the action scenes are irresponsible, but the characters within them are really irresponsible. So in this current context of society and all that, it's just hard to watch.
Yeah, it seems like this is part of a bygone era of movie making.
It's like we're past it already, and I'm not going to pretend we're past violent cinema. Clearly, we're not. And like Django Unchained is doing crazy.
Well, that's a good example, though. I mean, this is Django Unchained is probably more violent than this movie, but that movie, Django Unchained,
is different.
Well, Django Unchained is also fun. And this is clearly not. And that just speaks to Ruben Fleischer's inability to make a good movie or even a solidly made movie.
Yeah. It's just it's so all over the place. And I mean, like, it's to the point where some things are just silly. Like, I mean, the final scene is so silly. Like, me and Angie Hahn from Slash Film are just giggling. That's not what I expected. That's not how I expected my journey with Gangster Squad to end. But when you see it, and I would be interested to know other people giggle at the ending. But like, man, I just
So I guess, namely, do you recommend this film? I do not. I mean, if you do want to see this movie, I'd say wait till it's on Netflix streaming or get it from Redbox. But I would not say go to the theater to watch this.
I'd agree with that. I don't think the movie requires being seen on the big screen. Like, I don't think it's going to add anything to the experience. I mean, if you really want to see it and knock yourself out, do yourself a favor and at least go to a matinee. But I mean, like, honestly, like, I feel like if this were on TNT, I'd watch it again.
Yeah, this is the kind of the perfect, well, I wouldn't say the perfect cable Saturday afternoon movie, because you'd watch a scene and then get on with your day. Like, the perfect movie would be like you sit down, you turn it on, and then it's on in the background, but then you end up watching the whole thing. And this is clearly not one of those movies. And also, there are better movies in the theater right now. I mean, like, there's Zero Dark Thirty, Silver Linings Playbook, Lincoln, all of these Django Unchained, Argo, all of these movies are still in theaters, and I would recommend seeing those movies again or for the first time than Gangster Squad.
I'd second that. And I mean, it's just, like, January is kind of fun because it's where people dump movies that are just so silly, it's kind of hard they got made. But this one's not silly enough where it's fun on that level.
Yes. Let's wrap up this episode of Movie Night. Yeah, we both do not recommend seeing this movie, at least in the theaters. And if you do, I guess, see a discount matinee. Where can we find you online, Christy Puchko?
I freelance, but I'm predominantly writing at Cinema Blend. But if you guys follow me at Christy Puchko on Twitter, that's KristyPuchko, you can see me tweeting and sending out what I'm writing.
Yes, and you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, AutorCast.com, GiantFreakinRobot.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. On the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing The Last Stand, a new Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, and Guillermo del Toro presents Mama. So I'm very curious to see how these movies turn out. Thank you for listening to Movie Night. Have a good week. Goodbye.